The Ruined Podcast. Conversations, stories, and interviews about worship, music, and spirituality.
Welcome to the debut episode of The Ruined Podcast. This is Crispin Schroeder. Today we're going to be looking at an all too often overlooked aspect of music, space. In a few moments, you'll be joining myself and Jason Arman, a bass player for Nirvana, as we discuss aspects of space and dynamics in music, what it's like for musicians to focus on dynamics, and how a crowd responds to dynamics in space and music. So, without further ado, let's go to the restaurant. So, Jason, how about from a bass playing perspective, how do you approach dynamics in space?
Well, I've always been taught, obviously, that bass and drums are the foundation of your music. And obviously, that goes hand in hand with each other because you have to be in the pocket, as they call it, from time to time.
Of course, every lead guitar player thinks they're the foundation of music.
Well, you know. It depends on your perspective, I guess, but I think bass has a huge factor. Is a huge factor as far as dynamics of music because you're really the drums and the bass kind of take the music where it wants to go. Now the music is being built on this foundation, and it's just a matter of what you want to communicate to your audience, and if it's delicate when being delicate is called for, and being powerful and driving when it needs to be called for as well. So. And obviously, when you're talking about two instruments like drum and bass, those are the foundation of the music. So they have a huge, significant impact on where that song needs to go. And in general, dynamics is really kind of how you want to tell the story of a song. And really, bass and drums, that's the backbone of where that story's going.
So what do you look to do when you play on a typical weekend at church? How do you approach playing bass and the relationship with drums?
Well, you know, being on the worship team now for probably 5 years, it's easy to kind of settle back into a complacency about the songs that we've done. I've played them a million times, so I know the songs so well. So it becomes second nature to the dynamics of the song and paying attention to what they're trying to say. So that for once has always been real easy for me. So, but on new songs is different aspect. The first thing I like to do is I like to just, it helps a lot, obviously, when you guys give us CDs and whatnot to kind of find out the vibe of the song and what it's trying to communicate. And that's great because I think dynamics is hand in hand with, you know, the feel of the song and what it's trying to communicate. So you listen to the lyrics. You know, it seems to me that, you know, music is a lot like a movie or a story. It's being communicated to people, and how it's being communicated is the dynamics. And so listening to the lyrics and just feeling the groove of the song. Goes a long way to help with dynamics on stage, and obviously being with being in time with the drums and being one with the drums is really, I mean, it's obviously huge. So if you have a drummer that's going off the deep end in a particular spot, it's hard not to fight that. You know, if you and your drummer's fighting, the song's not going to have great dynamics, but. More importantly than anything, I think, as far as dynamics go with worship, is that, you know, if the dynamics are there and the space of the music is sound and it's communicating what the song's intended to do, people enter into worship much easier. And, of course, I've been to clubs and I've seen cover bands, whatever. They'll play the same song, two different bands playing the same song. Doesn't have the impact from one night on one band or in another band, they're playing the same chords, same notes, but their dynamics are much tighter and much more in tune to what the song's trying to communicate, and it's just a much more passionate experience, and you can feel it. And it's the same way within church, is that if we're paying attention to what that song's trying to communicate, and we're playing it accordingly, people enter into worship much easier, and the Holy Spirit is there, and it's great.
When you're listening to a band, how does the bass really affect you, you know, just from a listening standpoint?
Well, from listening standpoint, I mean, feeling the bass for me is huge. It's what makes you connect with the song on a passionate level. I don't know how other people feel of it, and I can ask you the same question, Crispin, but I know that the bass for me is I have to feel it in my chest to be able to connect with it. And obviously dynamics when those songs need to be high and driving, you know, it moves you emotionally and it moves you to a reaction. From your aspect, how is it for in songwriting? How's dynamics work when you're songwriting?
I think ultimately it comes down to if you write a bad song, it doesn't matter how good the dynamics are. You know, dynamics can't fix a bad song. You know, so I think really, you know, I just in thinking about this, I think one of the analogies that kind of came up to me is, you know, and when I was in high school, I got into to taking some photography classes and in college and stuff. And the important thing with photography is, you know, the photographs that stick with our society, like the guys on Iwo Jima with the flag. There's certain photos that have captured our imagination as a country, but. One thing you'll find in common with every good photograph is that there's a focal point to it, and there's a certain amount of tension and space and things that go into making that photograph have such impact on people. From a songwriting perspective, it means that I have to get a central focus of what I'm writing about. Sometimes I think when I approach writing a song, I'm thinking in terms of I've got so many things stirring on me, but really narrowing that down to the focus of saying one thing. And sometimes that may be one very simple thing, and it may mean that your song is only 20 words, but if you can say one thing in a very meaningful way, and then from the music standpoint, the band getting around that one thing. And I was thinking of some examples of this. There's a, you know, that song Breathe that has been done by thousands of artists in this country, still one of the top songs. But one of the things that works about Breathe, it's just such a simple song, and it starts off with just such a delicate kind of, this is the air I breathe. But as soon as that chorus kicks in, it's like, I'm desperate for you. And the song really doesn't have a whole lot of deep and huge things to say. But it's like by the time that chorus gets there, that desperation, that connects with people out in the crowd. It's just saying something very simple. And if you can get behind that musically, it's like, bam, you know? I mean, people out in the crowd, they're gonna connect with that. If you're approaching as just a musician, you're not really thinking in those terms of dynamic and space and what the song's saying. You're just going to be filling up that space, and so that when the chorus gets there, it's not going to have that impact.
Do you think musicians get in the way with the dynamics a lot in worship?
I think it's real important to really pay attention to what's being sung. What is this song about? What are we trying to communicate with this song? And not only that, what is the central aspect of this song? In our types of churches that are not so traditional and liturgical, it's going to be a lot of worship choruses, and the choruses are going to be those points where the audience really captures on. So trying to facilitate those things being the center of attention, you know, like in a photograph. If you've got just a photograph of a whole bunch of people, it's not going to impact you. But if like that picture of Iwo Jima with the troops up there, you know, I mean, it's focused in on that thing and them raising that flag. And it's like the emotion that picture gives you as an observer. It's like it connects with your soul, you know. And I think as musicians, finding out what is this song saying? What is the featured part of this song? Sometimes you want a guitar solo. Well, if there's a guitar solo going on, the keyboard player doesn't need to be doing a solo too. You know what I mean? Everybody needs to get behind, not too unlike the Saints, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, every week the Saints come out and they, you know, this season, they've had kind of like, you know, last week, you know, Deuce McAllister was one of the main guys. And if you had a bunch of prima donnas out on the field, it wouldn't have the same impact.
And by the same token, it's also from a performance aspect, it's hugely important in the dynamics of a song to communicate. It's to know what the other guy's playing, be sensitive to what the other person's playing, and you come together as a team and make that and transmit that message in hopes that it's communicating to people.
Because ultimately, if it doesn't connect with the people out in the crowd, then you failed, you know, in a sense. Your ultimate goal may not always be you want people jumping up and singing with all their heart. Sometimes you just want them to reflect on Jesus. But I think even keeping that in mind, what is the purpose of this song? Are we celebrating here? Is this a desperate cry to God? Is this a prayer? What's going on in the song? And I think most of the times, you know, musicians playing music, you're focused on the music, but I think really even keeping an idea of what thematically is going on and really just getting behind that, you know, that's the star right there, and what can I do to make that thing come across?
So Chrisman, kind of going back to how being in the audience and kind of participating in worship and feeling the music from a sound engineer's point of view, I know we don't have anybody here representing our sound guys, but from a sound aspect, how does dynamics play into our worship experience?
I think every musician needs to be a fan of music. You know, you need to enjoy listening to music, but not just listening to it, really starting to pay attention to it. Because I think probably the best thing that's helped me in understanding space and dynamics is actually every time that I've recorded in a studio or mixed a project, because it's like, sometimes I have a great, I've recorded some bands that, you know, are very talented. They may even have good songs, but they have a lousy sense of dynamics. And it's, you go to mix the song down and everything is filling up the spectrum, you know. And we'll probably do a future podcast on just the EQ and where everything fits in a mix. But I know from a sound man's perspective in the back of the auditorium, if you got two electric guitar players playing up there and you got an organ player and you got a snare drum, it's like all these things will tend to stack up in the mid-range of things. And so the person out in the audience, you may be playing a song you believe in with all your heart and you're feeling it and rocking and stuff, but it's not going to have the same impact to the people in the audience just because so much of that stuff is clogging up certain spectrums of sound. And so I think the more that we can learn to play with restraint a bit, you know, I one of my favorite examples is U2. I'm amazed at how they make their songs work with four people. And with that four people in the band, only three of them are usually playing music. Bono, if he ever has a guitar, it's usually for show. But, you know, I mean, he can play guitar, but he usually doesn't play it much live. But it makes it so much easier for a sound man to mix something if the band is paying attention to dynamics, because they're not clogging up things. They're really getting it tight and open and having things where they need to be. Well, this about wraps up the podcast for today, but I just want to close with a few thoughts. Those of you musicians or worship leaders that are heading into a weekend worship set, or even those of you who are playing a gig in a club this weekend, why don't you think of your songs as a photograph this weekend? And really ask yourself, what is the focal point of this song or these few songs that we're doing? What needs to be, what's the featured theme? Where does there need to be more space in the music? Where do I need to practice more restraint? Or where can I play a different part that will help frame the main action in this song? And where do I need to play with more confidence? Where do I need to jump out there more? Because maybe what you're doing is the central focus of a certain part. So as you head into this weekend, just begin to think a little bit more along those lines, and think about your relationship with other musicians. How can we make this thing work together? If you're a bass player or a drummer, as Jason said, how can you make the foundation of this song stronger so that it does, so that the melody, so that the main focal instruments can really get their job done and ultimately connect with the audience? Well, I hope this has been helpful for those of y'all listening to this out there. I'd like to thank Jason for his help and Pro Tools for the editing capabilities. And we're going to get another podcast out your way as soon as we can. Coming up, I'm going to be interviewing some worship leaders up in Estes Park, Chris Lazat, and some other songwriters on different other aspects of music. So stay tuned and tell your friends about it if you think they'd be interested. All right, goodbye.